Fourth and final hour of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5. The game, 6 days and counting until the first round begins. NFL draft in our city. Titans will pick 19th, at least as of today. And we're going to talk about all that and more with Jim White from TitansOnline.com. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing fantastic. Before we get into a little pigskin, what did you think of Vanderbilt hiring Jerry Stackhouse? What did you think of that?
I like it. I mean, I was definitely on board with them making a change, and I'm not one of these people who think, well, anything's better than what they had, and even though that's the truth, because I didn't think that I think the level that the program had sunk to was at a level I'd not seen it since I've been going to games out there since, you know, the late 70s. So something needed to change. I like Jerry Stackhouse. You know, when the hire was made, I have to say, when initially the reports came out, scratched my head a little bit just because he's not a name that appeared in a lot of college head coaching searches. But certainly I'm familiar with him from his days in college and in the pros. And after hearing more about him and listening to his press conference and listening to some podcasts that he's been on, I think he's going to get players' attention. I think he's going to be able to develop players. I think he's going to be able to recruit. And I think you're not going to see players, you know, giving up on a coach and giving up on a season like what happened last year. So I'm excited about the change and on board with Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah, we had him in studio for about 30 minutes, and pretty impressive. I think we're all curious to see how this plays out. We were also curious to see how the schedule would play out for the Titans. They're coming off a 9-win season. I don't think the league did them any favors. That's just my opinion. 4 of the first 6 on the road, and you got Atlanta and Denver and Jacksonville and the Browns as the 4 road games, Indy and Buffalo at home, and then really tough to end the season. 2 games against the Texans and a game against New Orleans. What did you make of the schedule?
Well, I was kind of hoping for more primetime games. I thought the team had put itself in a position to maybe at least toast one primetime game after being, you know, certainly on the road for a couple of Monday night games last year. And they did host, obviously, the Jags on a Thursday night, and the game got flexed late in the season against Indy. So I was a little bit surprised it didn't get more opportunities there. It is a little bit tough early. I mean, 3 of the first 4 on the road, you mentioned, I don't like the cluster against the Texans late where you play them 2 out of the last 3 games and you've got the Saints sandwiched in. That's a tough ending. But
you know, have you seen that before, Jim? I mean, you've been around. I can't remember 2 out of 3 weeks playing the same opponent in the NFL. Can you?
It doesn't happen much. It happens occasionally. And
okay.
The Titans had pretty close games and pretty close proximity to the Colts a couple of years ago. I remember that. I don't like seeing that, especially at the end of the season. But, the schedule, you know, is what is presented to you. And you've got to go out and play. And if the Titans play well and they're a contender, they'll get some games flexed, in games weeks 11 through 17. If not, then you'll be seeing them at noon a lot of times. But, I definitely don't think it's easy at the start, but I always look at it and say if you can fare well early, you can build some momentum going into the meat of it, and that's what this team's going to have to do. I mean, and I will say I think the Browns are going to be a lot better this year, kind of like it took a big step last year, but with so many new pieces and with a new coaching staff, maybe it takes them a little while to get going, so maybe it's good to get them in week 1.
Jimmy, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I said yesterday with Tim Hasselbeck on the show with us, the Browns will be the most overbet team in the first month of the season. My guess is Vegas will rake on the Browns because everybody, the line's going to be inflated and people are going to pound on the Browns. And I think early on, my guess is Vegas will make their hotels even nicer. Because I think they're going to win a lot of money. I just think the hype is, you know, maybe it's going to be real, but I'm with you. It may take some time. You're just not going to create magic the first month of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're going to be fired up in week one up there. I mean, you're going to be walking into a place that's jacked up. But what NFL city isn't jacked up in week one? So if you're going to get them in a jacked up environment, you might as well get them early. And I'd rather go to Cleveland in September than December.
Yes, amen to that. In fact, I think I'm going to road trip up for that game. Willie and I have seen things from just going, being downtown and seeing all the construction, everything going on. But we haven't seen it like you. You're more in depth to what's going on, the transformation of our downtown getting ready for this NFL draft and what's getting ready for an incredible 4 days of, you know, a rock and roll marathon and a Jimmy Buffett concert and everything with the draft and possibly hockey playoff games. I mean, it's going to be crazy. The biggest event and probably the biggest showcase our city has ever put on. I don't think that's even debatable. What have you seen from your perspective? Because your perspective is different than ours.
Well, it is going to be special. I mean, I've been to these outdoor drafts, and Dallas wasn't an outdoors, indoors, but they had so much stuff surrounding AT&T Stadium down there that it was just a great atmosphere there. But I've been to them in, downtown, you know, Chicago and Grant Park, and in Philadelphia on the Rocky Steps, and I've seen just the buzz and just the electricity in the city for those drafts, and then the draft night itself is just off the charts. But none of those places are like Nashville. I mean, Nashville's unique in that there's such a there's an area where there's just so much to do, where you, if you can just get there, you can walk everywhere. And it's going to blow up next week. I mean, I'm glad that it's next week. You know, the draft is next week and not this week, because last night I was thinking as I was out down close to downtown around, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, and it was just a monsoon. Thinking, man, I'm lucky it's not the draft. It's the first night of the draft is not going on now, and then today is kind of a dreary day in Nashville. So you hope it's not like this next week. But I look at the long range forecast and it looks pretty good. It looks like the temperatures are going to be good. And if it is, I mean, it's going to be off the charts, because there's going to be people from all over the country here, from all over the world. I know people that send me messages in my mailbag and on social media that are coming in from overseas. And so it's going to be great. And when the draft ends, you know, some of these places, you know, especially in Dallas, when the draft is over that night, you know, everybody packs up and goes home. The thing about Nashville, when the draft ends, you're still going to have all these honky-tonk, and you're still going to have so much going on in the cities. I mean, so the party's going to go on all night, and it's going to be fun. I'll be in the middle of it on Thursday night for the first round. I'll be hunkered down in St. Thomas Sports Park, I guess, on Friday and Saturday. But it's going to be a lot of fun for people from Nashville and for people from all over the place.
Jim White is with us, TitansOnline.com. And, Jim, there was a story that hit earlier today. I don't know if it's been verified or if we know much of the details, but apparently the Raiders with John Gruden and Mike Mayock dismissed the scouting staff. So I'm just curious, you've talked a lot to the staff for the Titans, and I know you've got an article on right now talking about sort of the preparations for this. The good thing for Titans fans does appear that there seems to be very good chemistry between John Robinson and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I agree with that, and you know, John Robinson was very involved in Mike Vrabel being hired, and obviously, Amy Adams Strunk felt like a change needed to be made. But you know, John had some familiarity with Mike Vrabel. I think those guys have a similar mindset. They're both, you know, hardcore football guys, and they're not going to agree on everything. Mike Vrabel said himself, I mean, if you agree on everything, you just need one guy. But they have differences of opinion on some things. I think they have a healthy relationship where they're able to work through it. I mean, the GM and the scouts, I mean, those guys, I've got an office upstairs that's just down from the war room, and those guys have been working nonstop here over the last several months getting ready for this. I know the coaching staff is very involved in this. I mean, the assistant coaches are going to private workouts, and they're going to pro days, and there's a scout's opinion on thing, and there's a coach's opinion on thing, and some of those things, what they look for in players are different, but you kind of work through that to kind of figure out the guys that you want and that are good fits for your team. And I do feel like they're on the same page, and it's a healthy relationship, and I think now the key is just put yourself in a position where you're ready to go in the draft and hope things kind of fall your way. And I'm as curious as anybody to see how this is going to play out, because what happened in free agency kind of set the team up, at least early, to kind of go where the best player available, you know, can be had, and not necessarily picking for position. And when you do that, then I think you got a, you know, you got a real good chance to get a good player.
You just hit on an interesting dynamic, and you've been watching it for a long time. You go back to when Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher were in those rooms, and they're taking the information from the scouts. But the scouts who are charged with watching the talent coming out, they're watching the entire college football season. They're watching over the long haul, and then, of course, supplementing it with what happens after the regular season. Whereas the coaching staff, you know, they're coaching the team. That they're not watching the college talent until after the season's over, but they will hone in on a couple of guys that they like, I'm sure. So is the system between the coaches, the scouts, and the GM much different than it was back in those days with Floyd and Jeff, or do you see some similarities?
Well, I think the coaches are a lot more involved now than they used to be. I mean, I can't ever remember. And I think this has started to change maybe over the years. But, you know, I think certainly since John Robinson's been in charge, I mean, I think there's been an emphasis on having the scouts get out and do more and do reports and go to these pro days and get to know players. I mean, the scouts are all over the country, as you mentioned, Willie. I mean, starting, you know, when the one draft ends, you know, they're turning their attention toward the next year's class. You know, draft class, and it's an exhausting effort, but they want the coaching staff's opinion on these guys as well, and it's not just Mike Vrabel. I mean, it's all the position coaches. You know, those guys have been busy and on the road themselves, and then they talk through some of these things, and they spend time with them, and they get a good idea of the personality and the guys that they'll be working with on a day-to-day basis in these classrooms and on the practice field. And that's important, because, you know, if you don't get a coaching staff's opinion on this, you know, they're the guys you'll be working with them closely once they're in the building. And if they have see some red flags or see some things that they feel like need to be talked about, they bring that into the conversation. And I think that has helped the team identify, you know, the best players that fit the team.
Your article talks about how they're maybe now looking for difference makers. I think we would all agree that they've done a very good job in the last year or two of finding good, solid role players. Their depth, I think, has been better than it has been in past years. But they're now looking for those top guys. You think that's a little different than before? Are they now better, I guess, feeling better about the roster as a whole and now just looking for finishing touches?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the roster's solid, and I think, you know, it's not a situation where, you know, in past drafts where you're looking for three or four starters out of that draft class immediately. I mean, I think the way free agency's played out, I think the way this roster's been built, I mean, I think most positions are pretty solid. This team needs help at edge rusher. You know, that Harold Landry is going to be a good player. Cameron Wake obviously could come in and make a difference, and they like Kamilah Correa, and I think Sharif Finch is a promising guy. But, you know, and this is just me. You know, you ask John Robinson what the needs are, he's not going to tell you. He just says they're looking to get better at every position. But personally, I look at him, I think this team needs edge rushers. I think this team needs a big, nasty defensive lineman that's going to, you know, help Jarrell Casey on the D-line. This team needs help in the interior offensive line. And Roger Saifel was assigned to play one guard spot, and there's some good players that compete for the other spot. But I think you've still got to continue to pound that group. I think more playmakers on offense. I mean, I think receiver. I don't think you'll have too many young receivers, because we've seen how long it takes maybe some guys to develop. But I think it needs more dynamic players at receiver, and it's not going to completely shock me if a tight end's out of this class. I mean, Delaney, I'm not going to question him or doubt him a minute. I think he's going to come in and pick up where he left off. But, you know, he's heading into his 14th year. He's 35 years old. He can't play forever. You saw what the Patriots did many years ago when they picked two tight ends in the same draft class, and they were great doing that for a while. I mean, I think it would be great if you could have another tight end and be a big difference maker too. So some needs need to be addressed. And if you can get dynamic players, game changers, game wreckers, whatever you'll call them, I think that's a big, big plus.
Tuesday night we sat in Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, and watched Mike Minor pitch a complete game shutout against the Angels. 103 pitches. How about that?
That's pretty nice. I know earlier this week you had a showdown between Walker Buehler going up against Sonny Gray, which was a pretty good Vanderbilt matchup head-to-head at Dodger Stadium. I was glad to see Sonny Gray take the L in that one. But it was, you know, these Vandy pitchers are doing pretty well.
And what did Walker Buehler have, 8-9 strikeouts in that win?
He had a good day.
He was really good.
Yep, went 6. And so he's doing well. It's funny, though, that, you know, I root for the Vandy guys, obviously, but when they're playing the Dodgers, that goes out the window.
Not surprised by that answer. Jim, always appreciate the visit. Soak it all in. It's going to be a lot of fun next week, and we can't wait for it. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you guys have a good weekend, good Easter weekend. Thank
you. All right, you do the same. That is Jim Wyatt. TitansOnline.com is where you can find his work. Back with more of Darren and Donick next.